friends to inspirational truths. A time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth Time. Once again, I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And all, listen, if he isn't yours, he can be. If he isn't yours, he wants to be. If he isn't yours, he came to be. The Word of God tells us in the book of Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, Debbie and I are excited about the program. I tell you that week after week, time after time. But friend, the truth of the matter is, we're excited about the program. I'm excited about the message the Lord has laid on my heart. Debbie's excited about the song the Lord has given to her and going to use today. And it's one of our favorites. I hope you enjoy it, friend. The title of it is I've Got It All. And hey, listen, friend, when you've got Jesus, when Jesus has you, in reality, you've got all that you need and a whole lot more. God is able to give unto you and to God's able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we ask or think. So look, friend, when you ask him for the something, he gives you a lot more than what you ask for. Well, I've opened my Bible to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 21. Going to read three verses of scripture, I believe, a very familiar scripture to the Bible readers, and take a message out of that I believe the Lord has laid on my heart. Now, pray that it'll be a blessing. I mean that with all of my heart, friend. Now, look, I'm just as serious as I can be about this message, and I'm going to do a little testifying as much as anything, maybe, in this message the Lord has laid on my heart. But I hope that it's a blessing to you. It has been to me in preparing it. I hope it will be to you in hearing it. But here's Debbie. The title of the song again is I've Got It All. And if you've got Jesus, friend, you do have it all. I love this song. The more I hear it, the better I like it. I pray that it'll be a blessing. And y'all be back in a minute or two.
This weary soul had a long game, needing a place of belonging. Happens every time, and his grace is still mine.
I hear it, like I said, in introducing it to you, the more that I like it. And look, let's just be honest. If you've got Jesus and Jesus has got you, you have got everything that you need, without a doubt. Now, here's the thing about it, though. You need to keep what you've got. Without a doubt, you and I, as believers in Christ, as followers of Jesus, as little Christ, many Christ, friend, listen, those of us who walk planet Earth to claim to know Christ as our Savior, there are things that we need to keep. We need to do our best to preserve them and to pass them along in the book to another generation behind us in the book of 1 Kings. Chapter 21, I'm going to read the first three verses of this great book. And listen now, listen to what was going on between a man that had power, a man that had prestige, a man that was prominent, a man that had position, and a man who, was little known. He just happened to have a piece of land that butted up against the palace of King Ahab at a place in Samaria called Jezreel. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard or close by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, "Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house." Boy, that's a real reason to want a man's piece of land, is it not? "And I will give it thee for a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money." And Naboth said to Ahab, look now, a peasant to a king, a man, friend, that had no position, had no power, had no prominence. Hey, listen, you know what he did? Because he had a fear of God, a reverence of the Word of God. I believe he said it kindly. I believe he said it honestly. I don't believe that he was confrontational to the king. But he said, listen, "The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my father unto thee." Now listen, I preached out of this passage before. And this message is somewhat similar to what I preached earlier on. But friend, there's some things that are different in it. And I make no apologies about preaching out of this passage again in light of the fact that I believe, after praying and seeking God's face, this is where I believe the Holy Spirit has led me. But I want you to think with me about this passage of Scripture and this event that we have record of here in the book of 1 Kings chapter 21. And I want you to think with me, here's what Naboth was saying. "I'm not giving it up. I'm not giving it up." Look, friend, that's really my testimony in this last day, in these last hours of the church on planet Earth, in this day, friend, of gross apostasy, this one-of-a-kind apostasy that the Apostle Paul spoke about in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that was and is to precede the second coming of Christ. I believe we're in it, friend. I believe without a doubt we're in those perilous times that Paul, again, as he wrote to Timothy in the last letter that he wrote to that young pastor, 2 Timothy chapter 3, when he said in the last days, perilous times shall come. Hey, listen, he also said that in the last days, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I believe it is. But hey, listen, friend, I've got news for you. Hey, I want everybody to hear this. I'm not giving it up. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, I'll get to it in just a little while. But there are things that I have been given, things that I have been entrusted with, things that I have been charged with long ago at the making of this program, friend. I'm getting ready to finish 46 years in the ministry. And oh, I'm ashamed that I don't do it any better than I do. I'm ashamed. And I mean this, friend, that I don't know any more than what I know. But oh, thank God for what I do know, what God has given me, what God has charged me with, what God has has given me as a stewardship over. Oh, you know what? Friend, I'm not giving it up. I've passed it along. I want to pass it along. I've tried to preserve it because that's what the Word of God teaches me to do. But let me tell you something, friend. I'm not giving it up for anything Ahab has, for anything the world offers, for anything another, quote, man of God says, hey, preacher, why don't you try this on? Hey, friend, I know what I've got. I've tried it. I've proven it. It's proven itself to me, and I've not given it up. In essence, that's what Nabal said to Ahab. Thank God for men. Thank God for men that will stand. Do you know what? Thank God for men that will stand. Now, as we look at these three verses, friend, I want you to know that there's some wonderful things. There are some wonderful things, wonderful truths, wonderful lessons we can glean from this. For instance, friend, listen. Nabal, he was more concerned about obeying the Word of God than he was making money. Do you know what? That goes against the grain of many who are in ministry today. Hey, Peter tells us that we're not to do what we do, feeding the flock, ministering to the flock, being examples to the flock for filthy lucre. We're not to do it for filthy lucre, but we're to be it. We're to do it being examples to the flock. Hey, can I tell you what's the truth? Bless God, the Bible tells us, and look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 maybe and 2, that in the last days as there were false prophets, there would be false teachers in these last days making merchandise out of the men and women of God. Well, we're seeing that everywhere. We're seeing that everywhere. Now look, a man of God that's in the ministry of the Word of God, hey, you know what? He ought to live by that. That's what the Word of God teaches. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. But oh, listen, friend, when we're in it for the mighty daughter, when we're in it for prestige and position and power and glamour and glory, how we're in it for the wrong reasons. You know what Nabal said? Nabal said, look, son, he said, I'm concerned about something, but I'm not concerned about making money. I'm concerned about keeping what's been given me. Decided a long time ago, Ahab, that I'm not giving up what Daddy gave me, what Papa had, what Great-Grandpa had. God give it to them. In fact, this land belongs to God. He's entrusted me with it, my family with it, here in the valley of the plain of Esdraelon. Hey, I'm not giving it up. I'm holding on to what's been given to me. I want to pass it on up to my sons by the grace of God, and I want to do it for the glory of God. That's what it's about, Ahab. Hey, I'm sorry I'm going to refuse you, king, but look, I'm trying to serve a greater king. Do you know what Nabal said? He knew the land was only a loan. It was on loan for the Lord. And he wasn't about, friend, listen, to make a deal with an earthly king. He had been given a stewardship. It had been given to him by his father and by God Almighty, actually. And you know what he was going to do? He had done decided that he was going to do as well with his stewardship that he could. Can I tell you something, sir, ma'am? If you've been given the gospel, if you've been called into the ministry, sir, I mean, if you've been given a charge, ma'am, of young children to teach them in Sunday school, vacation Bible school, or some situation as such, if you, sir, if you have a charge of a Sunday school class, I don't care what age it is, what size those young men are, hey, I'm telling you, you've been given a charge. Do you hear me? You that carry the King James Bible, you've been given a charge to keep. Hey, listen, hold on to it with all of your might. Love it. Read it. Learn it. Live it. Lift it up and let it do its work in you and through you and on you. Hey, Nabal said to Ahab, I'm not giving it up. Hey, listen, understand something. Old Nabal understood something. He understood the importance of staying true to the spiritual instructions of the Word of God. I record in the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, beginning in verse 23. He said, said, listen, I'm not going to take time to turn and read it. I believe that's what Naboth was thinking. And when Ahab said, give me a land, he said, no, sir, I'm going to stay true to the Word of God. Hey, listen, it's not mine to sell. I'm just to keep it. I'm just to maintain it. I'm to work it. I'm to labor in my little spot of ground. It may not be as much as the king owns. It may not be as big as somebody else up the road or down the road or across town in the next state, in the next country, wherever it may be. But Naboth said, listen, Ahab, God's given me this. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to do my best with it. I'm going to work it. I'm going to do, listen, what God has charged me to do. Hey, sir, ma'am. That's what I encourage you to do. I determine in your heart today that you're not giving it up. Listen, those traditions that have been passed down to you. And I'm not talking about traditions, bless God, that are man-made. And I'm not talking about tradition of your little church, of your little fellowship. But I'm talking about the traditions, Paul. I've talked to them about at Thessalonica in chapter 2, verse 15 of the second letter that he wrote to that church. He said, stand fast. Therefore, brother, therefore, he summed it up, stand fast, hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle, those truths, those doctrines. I listen, bless God, and that way and means, that method and that message that God has given to you, entrusted to you. Hey, sir, ma'am, let's hold on to them. Let's preserve them. Let's polish them and pass them on to the next generation to come. Naboth said, look, I'm not trying to be disrespectful here, King, but I'll tell you what, I'm interested in being faithful to a greater King. Isn't that amazing? The Bible tells us in these last days, the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, that the church, that people that profess Christ as their Savior, men and women have that claim the name of Jesus. Do you know what they're going to do? How they're going to listen, turn away their ears up from truth and be turned to fables. And they're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Isn't that what we're seeing in this day? Isn't that what we're seeing in this hour? There's a lot of churches that you'd go to today. A lot of big churches. A lot of big name churches with big name pastors. And I'm not against big. Bless God, I want to be as big as I can be. I'm going to be a part of a big work. And I am a part of a big work because I'm a part of that great church that Jesus purchased with His blood. But let me tell you something, friend. A lot of these churches have changed their purpose. Do you hear? You go into them. You listen to their, quote, pastors, unquote. Their, quote, men of God, unquote, preach. And you'll wonder what their worship is about. And you wonder who is to be glorified, who is to be magnified, who is to be honored. Is it man or God? It's all about me, 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 me. I. What I want. What I want. What I need. Now what God's going to do for me. What God's promised me. What God said He'll give me. What I can have from God. Hey, listen. It's all about me. Hey, look. I believe church was designed for man to worship God, to stand in awe of Him, to bow in His presence with reverence, to give Him glory, to give Him honor. Oh, friend, listen, we might get the goods out of that. And we do. God returns blessing upon blessing upon blessing to me and you that worship the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, friend, going to church, this is going to hurt some of you. It would hurt a lot of people if they'd listen to it and believe it. But it would help them after it hurt. Going to church isn't about me and you. It's about God Almighty. It's about worshiping Him, standing in awe of Him. Hey, humbling ourselves before Him, adoring Him, praising Him, glorifying Him, honoring Him, magnifying Him, lifting up our voices to praise Him. Hey, listen, when we do that, when we stand in awe of Him, when we express forth His worth, you know what? We're blessed. And that's what, that's the way God have made it. But oh, Naboth said to Ahab, hey, I'm not going to disrespect you, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to respect a greater king. I'm going to obey him and not you. You know what Naboth said? Naboth said, look, I don't know how costly this will be, but bless God, it cost him a lot. It cost him his life. Oh, friend, listen, I'm afraid from here on in, it's not going to get any easier for the believer. Not going to get any easier for that one, that man, woman, boy or girl that names the name of cross, the name of Christ. Naboth, no doubt, he knew that if he sold to the king, the land that God gave to his family would never return unto him, even in the year of Jubilee. I don't have time to explain that, but I want you to know, if somebody got into trouble back in those days, he could sell himself to one of his neighbors, to one of his kinsmen. And in the year of Jubilee, what he sold would be redeemed, would be set free. But you know what Naboth decided? He decided he must obey God rather than the king. Hey, friend, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not giving some things up. Do you hear me? I'm going to stay where I've stood for 46 years. Hey, listen, friend. We need to make up our minds how they're going to stay the course, that we're going to stick with it, and that we're going to continue in the same vein of preaching, the same mode, the same message, the same manner, how to glorify God. We've been given a charge. Do you hear me? We've been given something special. We don't have to search for anything new. Hey, listen, friend, like this generation coming up under us, under me is. I don't know whether it's the millennials or what you would call them, Generation Z or X. How about it's one of those younger than me. They tire out. I mean to tell you, they're always looking for something new. Do you know what we need to do? We need to get something that's so old it seems new and stick with it all the way. We need to do what Elijah did after he watched and witnessed the fact that Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. There was a chariot of horses, of fire and horses that separated him and Elijah. And you know what? Elisha saw him go up to heaven in a whirlwind. And boy, you know what? When Elijah was going up, the mantle fell from him, fell down to where that Elisha could pick it up. And I love this in the book of 2 Kings chapter 2. Elisha rent his clothes. You know what he was saying? I'm not changing a thing. He picked that mantle up. Bless God. He picked it up exactly the way it fell down. He didn't say, I want to make something new. I need to freshen it up. I need to change it up a little bit. I need to do this or do that to it. He just simply picked it up. You know what he did? He did exactly what Elijah had done. He took the thing, smote the waters of Jordan, and they went back hither and thither, and he walked over on dry ground. How we need men of God that will receive their charge, not from older men of God. You know what? That's what Paul told Timothy to do. Listen, he told him in the book of where's it at? 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. Yes, 2 Timothy. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, have the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able also to teach others. Oh, bless God. We don't need anything new, but we need something so old it seems new. Do you realize that? That's exactly what we need. You know what Paul told Timothy? Don't change a thing, son. Stay right with it. I believe he told him in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. The reason being that in the latter days many men will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit. Hey, listen. Peter asked a question. When Jesus asked the apostles, will you go away also like the multitude has done? Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. The Word of God says in Deuteronomy, Peter said to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Listen, I believe we ought to do the best with what we've got. We ought to do the best with what we've been given. But we ought not change a thing. We ought not change the Bible. Hey, listen, I believe it would do the world more good to go back out of the King James Bible than it would to have another new one written than we could ever imagine. Hey, listen, we ought to go back to old-fashioned worship. We ought to go back to worship that's about God, not about man, not about about my self-esteem or my feel-good, but about glorifying God. I'm going to go back to the great hymns of faith. Do you know that? Not this 7-Eleven kind, but bless God, that's got the touch of Almighty God on it. What about the purpose for which we do what we do? It's all for the glory of God. We ought not change your methods. We ought not change your message. We ought not change our means. Bless God. You know what we ought to do? We ought to just simply stand on what we have been given. Stand where the old ones have stood. And bless God, do our best. And Proverbs 24:21 said, "My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change." Listen, I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up what I've got. I'll give over to the next generation I have. I'll continue to do that. But hey, I've not giving it up. I'm not giving up my charge. I'm not giving up my commission. I'm not giving up my call. I'm not giving it up, friend. I'm going to stay with it all the way to the end. And I encourage you today, sir or ma'am, determine you're going to do the same. If you need to repent, if God's spoken to you anywhere in this message, go to Him and go back to the old past today unto the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.